Hello, this is The Greatest Story Ever Played. My name's Dan, and today I'm going to talk about LEGO Builder's Journey. A quick description for this is, step through levels, brick by brick, with puzzles that sometimes ask us to follow the instructions, and sometimes to be creative and break the rules. Builder's Journey is a poetic puzzle that takes place in a LEGO brick world, brought to life with the most accurately rendered LEGO elements yet to be featured on screens. Be taken through breathtaking world filled with brick-by-brick effects, accompanied by a beautiful soundtrack. Throughout the narrative, there will be ups and downs, challenges, and celebrations. Take the time to experiment, and most importantly, to play, as figuring out who we are and what we become is the builder's journey. All right. And production info for this. This was developed by Light Brick Studio, and this is their debut game. Doing other kind of background research on this, Lightbrick seems to be an in-house studio for LEGO itself, so in charge of making LEGO games. And then also, in reading about this, it seems like the goal of this game when LEGO kind of came up with it and Lightbrick pitched it and all of that, is to make kind of a more mature LEGO game. Kind of the idea of like something that could be for adults potentially, or you know, that kind of thing, as opposed to maybe a game that's for kids based off of a franchise for kids like Lego Star Wars or whatever, taking something that's for adults and making it for kids and then having the more kids version concept is kind of what it's worked with. It is sort of the thought. So I guess that's kind of where the game came from. Non-spoiler thoughts, I feel like I have some things I guess I want to say about this that maybe aren't directly about the game, but adjacent to it at least. So first thought I have is if you like the idea of completing puzzles using like Lego bricks to kind of navigate your way through a level, things like that, if that sounds cool, this is a game for you. You will enjoy this for sure. If that doesn't sound like something you'd like, then this game will not be for you, because that is totally what this is just using Lego bricks to complete puzzle elements is the main kind of thrust of this game. This was a game for me. I totally like how that sounded, and it was what I thought it was, which was awesome. Now, what I wanted to do, too, is just get into kind of my experience with LEGO. My experience with LEGO is what led me to this game, and so I think that's an important kind of piece to this. So, for me, I grew up with LEGO. You know, I had, like, castles and knights, like that kind of stuff, and pirates. Like, I was into some different LEGO themes and really enjoyed it as a kid, both building things, you know, playing with them, making battles, all of that stuff. That was a thing I loved doing growing up. And I did that for a while. And then I think probably through elementary school, I think by the time I got to middle school, action figures and stuff like that sort of faded out for me and was more into video games and stuff. But so I'd taken a big break, you know, probably the last time I'd done Lego seriously was when I was like 10 or under. And I'm 35 now. So, way different, big break. But I've gotten back into LEGO in the last, 4 to 6 months maybe, is probably about right. So what kind of drew me back into LEGO was I saw that there was a Horizon Zero Dawn set for the Tallneck. And I love Horizon Zero Dawn is like my favorite game. Absolutely love Horizon. Huge, huge, huge fan. And so seeing that, I was like, this is some memorabilia I could be interested in. I don't tend to buy tons of memorabilia myself, but when I saw that, I was really intrigued because I was like, light bulb, like, I remember I used to love playing with LEGO and it was such a blast. Also, this Tallneck looks great. This looks really, really cool, and I love Horizon. And so I kind of had my eyes on it and was kind of scoping it out for a few months of, all right, I want this Tallneck. And as I was scoping it out, What I also learned was Legos are expensive. That set was $90, which $90 for a dice roll of a thing I may or may not like felt a bit daunting, and I was not sure about. But I decided to just kind of keep watching, keep it in the back of my head. And then it went on sale, and it was $70 instead. And I was like, well, if I really want this, this is probably the time to get it, because it probably won't get better than this. And so I decided to pick it up, and the weekend I picked it up, I had just a totally open weekend, nothing to do, and I spent my whole, like, Saturday night just putting together this tall neck, and some Sunday morning. I was so enamored with it, and really, really, really enjoyed it. All the joy of building and things like that that I recalled from childhood kind of came flowing in. Also, the experience of being an adult and being like, it wasn't like this was so easy and it was for kids. The Horizon tall neck set is 18 plus, so it, you know, it did have some complicated brick building things, and I had parts where I was like, oh, I did this wrong, I need to go back and fix it. But it was really rewarding, and now I have it sitting in my office. I see it every day, and I really like it. It was so cool, and such a enjoyable experience. And that's really brought me back in. I would say that I'm at least 1 foot in the water when it comes to Lego, if not more. Since then, I bought the Cozy House, which was like a 3-in-1 set that was $60. I thought being a 3-in-1, that might slow my roll a little bit. And 60 was a little less money to invest to try to check something out. I really enjoyed that. Just recently, in the last like week, I bought a castle that was on sale for $80 instead of $100. I haven't built it yet, but I cannot wait to. Really looking forward to that too. And that's pulling me in. I'm definitely in. My eyes are towards this. I feel like if I have excess money or weird gift cards that show up or something, like, my thoughts right now are, well, what Lego could I buy with this? I'm definitely back in, I guess is what I'd say. And I think being back in, that is what led me to this game. You know, I've been enjoying it in the practical building things part. But that had me looking into, like, okay, well, what other Lego stuff is out there? And I knew that there were Lego video games, and so I stumbled across this one online. And I was like, oh, cool, doing puzzles with Lego pieces? That sounds super enjoyable. And I also saw that this had a pretty high ranking on, I think Metacritic or something like that. And it had like, something in the 80s, maybe like an 86 or 82, something like that. And so I saw this and I was like, oh, cool. A Lego game for adults, more so, or it's more mature. It's ranked in the 80s. And, I got it on sale for $10. So kind of all of that came together, and I was like, cool, this sounds perfect for me. This sounds exactly like something I'd want to spend my time on. And it did end up being that, so that was cool. But yeah, that's a little bit of how I got there. Finally, last thing, doesn't really have to do with Lego, but an observation. Which is, I thought it was funny that this was the third game with Journey in the title that we've covered on the podcast now. We originally, of course, covered Journey from That Game Company. And then secondly, I'd covered Old Man's Journey on the show at 1.2. I thought that was kind of funny. I guess if you have a game that's about a journey, you put Journey in the title, there's a decent chance that I'm going to play it, which I feel like does fit. That's sort of those kind of descriptions do sort of fall in that's a Dan game. So, I just thought it was funny. The first two times I didn't notice the coincidence, but this time around I was like, huh. So we'll see. Maybe we'll have a Journey, game with Journey in the title, number 4 someday. All right, enough non-spoiler stuff. We will move into the full recap. For this section, I'm going to go kind of spoil the story beat by beat, of the main stuff and talk through that. I will say, also, this game, I mentioned earlier, I got it for $10 on PlayStation when it was on sale, and the game itself is probably an hour and a half to 2 hours long, so it's not that big. I would say, too, what I'm spoiling is kind of observed story, There's not any dialogue in the game. Instead, you kind of experience it happening and what you see, and there's music and stuff like that. But there's not dialogue or voice acting or anything like that. So I would say go play this if you want to go in blind before hearing this. But if you do hear it, I think you could still play it, because a big part of this game is doing the puzzles and the kind of joy and enjoyment that come from that, even more than the story itself. Which I think does make this kind of a unique game for us to cover on this show. But I don't know. My passion and joy for LEGO right now said, yeah, let's do this. I want to do this. So here we are. All right. Recap. The game begins, and you have two characters who I'm going to call father and son. That's what it seems like. And you experience them doing a couple things. You see them, like, on the beach, you see them camping, you see them go hiking, and I guess kind of adding to scenery around this, the two characters, the father-son, aren't like minifigures, like your standard yellow like Lego guy. Instead, they're pieces that are built like what a person would look like, kind of in a person-type shape, and, you know, one's bigger and one's smaller, and so you're like, okay, this one's the son and this one's the dad. It sort of feels like that. And sort of what you observe there. And then the other thing is this sort of acts as your tutorial, kind of learning how to play, which the basic main way you play is there are two like small Lego bricks that are like a two length, like if it was two dots, it would be that length, but then it just has one dot on the top. And so you essentially use your two parts to kind of one foot in front of the other through the puzzle, kind of hiking your way around terrain and doing stuff. So that sets you up for like what the game looks like and how it works. A cool part in this element that stood out to me was there's a part where you're by a campfire and then you use like a Lego piece to put the fire out, and it makes like the kss of a fire going out, and you see the light, you know, get dark. I thought that was cool. Also, this game looks like really good. In terms of what it is, like better than you'd maybe think it would, or more than I thought it would going in. I think the game looks really nice. Not that it's like a, you know, high def, super graphic, this or that, but it looks really nice. It looks good. From here though, you arrive at the dad and son's home. The dad heads off to work. And the dad goes to work, he gets like picked up by a motorized thing, and he goes off to his work, and he works in like a factory type of thing where there's like a conveyor belt thing. It comes up, you put certain bricks on it, then it moves on and the cycle repeats, and you do that. And you maybe do that two or three times, but it really sells you the kind of monotony that work can be. It's just like, work, this is work. It feels that way. I would say not to the same degree, but it does kind of feel the What Remains of Edith Finch when you work as Lewis. Obviously not as extreme or anything like that, but the monotony of work that you feel, that game did that like at a 10, it was perfect. This game, I would say, gets similar. You get some of those similar feels of like, oh, work. So they really nailed that. I thought that was good. Meanwhile, on the other side, you've got the son inside the house playing with toys. And while he's playing with toys, he puts together this little robot out of five or six Lego pieces. And then it comes to life and runs through the wall, and the son runs off after it to have adventures. I thought this was really cool. I thought that this robot, I don't know whether it's real or not, you know, the fantasy of game, I don't know. What I kind of took it as, or what it feels like to me, is imagination, you know, if imagination just opening up and taking you on these adventures. That's what it felt like to me, and I really liked that. I thought it brought the joy of play and all of that. It really threw that in there, so that was cool. From here, you continue playing as the son. There are a couple stages where the son essentially, like, skateboards through these elements, through these puzzle areas. So basically what you'll have is you'll have an area, and then you use loose pieces to kind of create a track to make your way through the level. So some of these were like, there was pieces going down a Lego river. you'd pull the piece out and try to use it. Or sometimes there were pieces in the environment that you could like pull off of, like, oh, it's over on this hill. You take it away from it and you use it to make your path. That's essentially how the game works, is using pieces from around you to build paths to go to the end of the level and continue on. Finally, from here, after doing some skateboarding ones, the son makes his way to the factory area, and he's solving puzzles, but also as he's solving puzzles, it's breaking things in the factory. So you kind of have that going on. From here, the dad and the son end up in the factory area at the same time, where they impact where each other are. This is pretty interesting because before this, each kind of level that you solve is unrelated to anything else. It's like you compete level one and you move on to level two. Well, level one has no repercussions. It doesn't involve it anymore. It's just gone. Instead here though, with the father and son both around the factory, you have them impacting each other some. For a while, it's the son is on kind of the bottom floor of the factory, and then the dad is on the top floor. And so if the son like does some puzzle thing down at the bottom, maybe those pieces will go up to the top level where the dad is, and he could do something with them. So you're seeing what each other do impact the other one. That one was pretty interesting just to sort of see that part of the game change. From here, the dad ends up actually coming down because he figures out something's up. Okay. I think his thoughts could be either maybe something's broken in the factory or maybe someone's down there. Maybe my son's down there. I don't know if he thought that or not. He didn't exactly seem worried, but he did seem like, I gotta solve whatever's going on. So the dad goes down to see what's up. The son, meanwhile, has made his way through some puzzles and actually gets back to the top area. So they've reversed where they are, essentially, but deeper into the factory. So son's up top, dad's down at the bottom. While that's going on, the son and the robot are hanging out over kind of an opening, and something happens where, like, almost like an earthquake. It's not that, but something happens where it shakes, and the robot falls from the top level down to the bottom where the dad is. And the dad goes, and he sees the robot, and the robot's kind of broken up. Its pieces have broken off. And so the dad uses it and, like, puts it back together to try to build something to get out of there. And what the robot does is it starts giving away its pieces to the dad so the dad can make an item to essentially fly up and out of the hole. And the robot stays down there, doesn't have almost any pieces. Instead, it's just like the head flap and maybe another piece, but it like can't walk. And the dad goes up and escapes. To me, this felt a little bit reminiscent of Bing Bong in Inside Out. I won't spoil more, but it did feel reminiscent of that some, not in the same way that that was, you know, super emotional, and I still feel it now just talking about it a little bit. This one on the other side, it, you know, it was like a touch of that. It felt that of like, I don't know, imagination getting left behind to be able to make it out. Which, you know, that concept feels sad. from here, though, the dad gets to the top, he flies out, he reunites with his son, and then they need to build a vehicle to get back home. I thought that specifically on this part, building the vehicle was really cool. Just how it looked, it felt like playing with Legos and putting together like a cool vehicle to head home. I really liked that. I thought that looked cool and was super enjoyable. And then they make it home and credits roll. All right, on to some general thoughts. What I got here is I would love a sequel to this. I had a good time doing this. I really appreciated that LEGO made a like more mature game for adults. That kind of thought, I thought that was cool. I love the idea, I think too, of just that LEGO and really video games, both of these have shifted, I would say, from something that's just for children to it's for anyone. I like that. I think that's cool. I like that shift that's going with of this, that you would market to both kids and adults. And, you know, there would be different things you'd do with that. So, like the Legos, for kids, right, they're a little less complicated. Maybe they're not, the pieces aren't so small. If kids were so young, they might eat them or something. But then up to, you know, the 18 plus Legos, where it's something that's a bit more complicated that maybe a kid couldn't put together, but would be a fun challenge for an adult. And likewise with video games, right? There are video games that are great for children that they love and can have a wonderful time with that adults could enjoy too. But then there are also games that are definitely just for grown-ups and children shouldn't play them. And I think that's cool. I like these shifts. I think this is a good thing. And I don't know, just that adults can enjoy these things that, you know, the idea that, like, I don't know, I'm in my 30s. Well, you're too old for video games or Lego. Like, that's cool that that's changed kind of societally and, you know, not just that people think that way, but that things are being made that way. And that, you know, there are games that are for grownups or Lego for adults or whatever. I think that's cool. I like that. I think this is good. I'd love to see more of it. So, there's that last thing in here. I did notice in the game there was a creator mode, so I think you could create puzzles that maybe could be online that other people could complete them. I messed around with it for a little bit, but not enough that I got anywhere. I like the concept a lot, and I like really the idea of any creator stuff, I'd feel like, with Lego. I feel like if I could virtually build a whole bunch of stuff, like a Lego universe or something online, I would totally do that. So if that was a thing, I'd be very about it. But yeah, those are my thoughts. If you've played this, I'd love to hear what you think about it. If you want to get in touch, you can on Twitter at StoryEverPod. You can find the podcast, The Greatest Story Ever Played, wherever you get podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever. Huge backlog of episodes. Feel free to, yeah, go check them out. If you want to support the podcast financially, you can at patreon.com/thegreateststoryeverplayed. There, for as little as $1 per month, you'll get a monthly bonus episode we do. These range in content from things that are video game related to not. So, like, I talked about The Last of Us TV series on HBO when that came out. I talked about my experience building the Horizon Tall Neck more in depth, if you want to hear more about that and my Lego things there. I reviewed all the Star Wars movies and did like a rank them after I watched them all. If those sound like things you'd want, go check that out. If you'd want to support the podcast but can't financially, that's totally cool. If you just want to share with a friend, that would mean a lot. I think getting to share these games with people is truly the best part about this. So, yeah, would really appreciate it if you want to do that. And, yeah, that's the episode, and we'll see you next time.